Welcome back to the Hockey House Pod, episode 148, presented by Selly Hockey Co. I'm your host, Mackenzie Murphy, as we bring you the latest news from the ACHA and AAU college hockey. The boys are back recording, I want to say studio, but we're still in our four separate apartments and living arrangements right now. But we have all four of us here. Fitzy's here, Colin's here, Herm behind the scenes. It's going to be a great episode. We got a lot to catch you up on. And again, first and foremost, we honestly just want to apologize for the delay in episode releases. We kind of agreed before the season got going that we would do as many as we could before we all got busy, and we'll catch you up to date on what everyone's been up to recently here. But Collins, I'll throw it to you first because you're the only one who has changed locations since we last recorded, so some big news there.
Finally in Manhattan, finally started work, you know, just enjoying life here in Manhattan, figure out my way around the city and make living here relatively affordable. You know, it feels like every weekend, you know, I go in without having any plans, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there's always something to do. So
you mentioned in the pregame show before we hit record that you seem like every weekend you're running into more and more ACHA guys. Why don't you rattle off some of the schools that you've bumped into?
At a pregame for a concert, I ran into Miami of Ohio, NC State, UNC, I believe a South Carolina guy, obviously all the old Villanova guys. And then at a concert, I met a George Mason D3 player from before they went D1. So for some reason, I just keep running into ACHA people, which is really strange, but pretty cool, I guess. Oh, also St. Andrews College in Scotland, a hockey player from there. So it's pretty crazy, but a lot of guys from the ACHA over here.
Removing club hockey vision is just nearly impossible for guys like us. No matter where you go, you're always going to find a way to work the ACHA and club hockey into the conversation. But Fitzy, we'll throw it over you next because I think you had some exciting things going on. You made the trip back to Binghamton.
Yeah, the triumphant return. I gotta say this for my girlfriend's sake. It was a trip for her. It was a week with her, you know, not for the banner raising or getting my ring. None of that. It was all just to go see her, of course. It was fun seeing all the fans. Some of the fans don't fully understand like how it all works and everything. They're like, oh, are you back? You're playing tonight? I'm like, no, I'm just in the stands tonight. Like I'm done. But yeah, it was cool. The rings are ridiculously massive. I had it sized for my ring finger, and it's so top heavy that like when you put it on, it just flops right down. So I had it on the middle finger. I got to do the puck drop. So I had it on the middle finger for the puck drop, and then I don't think I'll be wearing it really ever again. I got to get one of those like spinning ring displays that lights up and just have it on the mantle. But yeah, I'm a men's league hero now and still just trying to figure out what I'm going to do next and, you know, trying to figure it out and take it one day at a time.
You rattling any cages in men's league these days? Any crazy stories from the last couple weeks?
That was something I wanted to bring up with you guys. Me and my oldest brother, who ACHA alum, we play on a team wherever we go, we play together, and they always come after us. It's never somebody else that they're fighting. They're always coming after us. I don't do anything. I play the game, you know, how it's supposed to be played. If there's like a weaker player and I know like they're not as good, I don't like take the puck from them. Like I'm nice. I don't know. It always seems to end in somebody coming after me or my brother. And yeah, I wanted to ask you guys because I don't understand if I'm doing something wrong. I'd love to know.
I've seen you play a handful of times. You're a speedy guy. And I got to think if you're a men's league player, that's like, that is the worst when there's just a guy who is so much faster than everybody else. Are you buzzing by people? And then by the second and third period, there's a lot more clutching and grabbing.
Yeah. Yeah. People, I just wish they would like, if we're going to like, they check you and stuff. Like it's no check. And then they check. It's like, if you guys want to check, we can check, but just let me know what the rules are before the game. Cause then the refs don't even care. The refs don't call icing. I've said to my brother, it's time to pick up golf. Cause it's you and that ball. Nobody's gonna bodily, you know, injure you. There's no bodily harm. You can only get mad at yourself at the end of the day. So that might be my future. I might be taking to golf. I bought a plain black helmet just for this reason. So I try to blend in. I got the plain black helmet. I bought some plain black pants. They don't even know who I am. I was getting chirped the other day saying these people thought it was a junior hockey player. I'm like, yep, you guys got me. I'm a junior hockey player. I'm headed to college. You caught me red-handed.
We'll have to get you in a better league. I know when I first moved to Boston, the first league I was playing in was definitely more physical, a lot more bumping, like you mentioned. But then I started playing in this league with a couple of Syracuse guys in Southie, and the skill level increased, but hooking, slashing, tripping, all that stuff like went away. So it's great. We got to find you a skill league like that where you can go as hard as you want, but nobody's trying to take your head off while you're out there. Well, the last person we haven't heard from so far is our executive producer behind the scenes, David Herman. Herm, how are things in the Big Apple?
It's been a wild month for me, to say the least. I've kept it very, very close to my chest publicly, and only a couple of people in my life know about what's kind of happened. 4-ish years ago, I got diagnosed with strabismus, which is kind of a broad term for anything that's not quite right in the operation or one or more of your eyes, more specifically exotropia. I've been dealing with some very pervasive headaches and migraines and eye strain and drift in my eye itself. I finally went and saw an ophthalmologist and then ultimately a strabismus surgeon, and at the very beginning of the month took care of surgery. So I had bilateral eye surgery. They knocked me out with some general anesthesia, made some cuts, tightened the muscle in my eye. It's been a slow and steady recovery process over the past month. Still have a little bit more healing to go in the next 2 or so, but all of the redness that you saw and pain immediately after surgery was gone. That's part of the reason, additionally, why some of the podcast delay has happened, because I physically was unable to take care of the editing and then management side of it. So just for my own health and well-being, had to make that executive decision to step away and let my own body recover through a pretty intensive surgery.
Herm, you and I have caught up in the last couple of weeks, and kind of looking back, because it has been a while since we went without doing the pod for that long. Is there anything maybe you've picked up in the extra time when you're relaxing and maybe outside of work?
Honestly, the biggest change has been the pace itself, because we went from 60 to 80 hours of what I was putting in weekly in Utica with the Comets and UCFC and Hockey House to kind of stepping away a little bit. I thought I thrived on consistently fast-paced stuff, and then I finally got a consistent breather and like a quote-unquote normal work schedule, and I was like, oh, this is actually kind of nice too. Finding the ability to carve out time for myself has been really, really great.
Like you kind of mentioned, because of the busyness of your job now too, you know, covering the NHL, things look a lot different for us too, and we'll kind of touch on that towards the end of the show, what the plan for us is moving forward. But a couple of big highlights in the last month for me is I went to Vegas for the first time, which was awesome. We went out there, a couple of Syracuse hockey guys and myself. We went to Vegas. We saw an overtime thriller. Syracuse beat UNLV at Allegiant Stadium on Friday night, which was great. That stadium is fantastic. And then Saturday we did a Calvin Harris concert, and then we went to a Golden Knights preseason game. People were asking me like how Allegiant Stadium was, and I was like, I was more impressed by T-Mobile Arena. That is one of the coolest places to watch a hockey game. And I was expecting a lot of tourists in the crowd like us, and I feel like there were just so many local people and so many diehard fans, and it was a preseason game. Like the last preseason game, the Sharks, they didn't have Will Smith or Celebrini playing. Golden Knights pretty much had their full opening night roster, and then the Sharks, they played spoiler and came back in the last minute, which was pretty cool to watch. And then a couple weekends later, we all buzzed back up to Syracuse for Syracuse Hockey Alumni Hall of Fame weekend, which is, I think I say it every year, it's one of my favorite weekends. It was a welcome to the ACHA moment for me my freshman year when I was introduced to that. It was the first year they did the event. And funny enough, 6 years later, it was the first time in the history of Alumni Hall of Fame weekend that Syracuse swept the weekend. So a big weekend sweep over ranked Delaware at the time. A great weekend. We had a lot of fun going to the games. I got to read the lineup one of the games, but my D partner in the alumni game was actually Brad Park's son. For those listening, Brad Park was a Boston Bruins legend. His son Kelly went to Syracuse and played for Syracuse in the 90s, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So he was my D partner in the Hall of Fame game. And this event just gets better and better every year. So Mr. Hayward does a great job of organizing things behind the scenes. The coaching staff, Coach Timmons and Coach Alhart, did a great job of doing their part and getting the weekend sweep. But something I thought was really cool this year is they introduced all the inductees get an orange blazer, like an orange sports coat. They looked big time. And then Connor Flanagan, friend of the show, rented out half of Orange Crate for us afterwards. So it was really cool, like being in a private roped off area with all these older guys wearing, you know, orange jackets. We really looked big time. So one of the most fun weekends of the year, and it was a weekend well spent in the Salt City. So here's how we're going to kind of do this episode a little differently, because I think there's so much for us to catch up on, and I don't think you guys want to listen to us rattle off scores from the past 5 weekends, and we want to make this a little more entertaining. So we went through and we picked out the highlights, and we'll kind of go through them and for the most part, chronological order and kind of just talk them over as a group. But I wanted to start, the lead was, we're back and recording, and here's kind of where everyone's up to. But one of the bigger moments, I'm sure, looking back on the season, it's interesting. The last time we recorded, I mentioned I was supposed to be going on vacation with my girlfriend down to Florida, but because of the first hurricane that was coming, you know, we were going to pivot and go somewhere else. But fortunately, there was a lot of people who could not pivot, and they were stuck in those areas. And one of those areas that got hit very badly was Boone, North Carolina. And so the App State team, you know, had to suspend their season for a couple weekends while the school went on pause. The following week, a couple North Carolina teams came together to collect supplies for hurricane relief. And it was that first week in October, UNC and NC State offered free admission to fans who brought hurricane relief supplies to benefit App State and the Western North Carolina communities. Alabama was coming up for the weekend. They were going to play a 1-1 with UNC and NC State. They actually took the extra room on their bus and brought, you know, bottled water and a couple other supplies, which was really cool to see. Tons of community members came out and donated supplies. They had App State players at both games, whether it was NC State or UNC, there to collect the supplies. And a really cool clip that I saw was they invited the App State guys into the UNC locker room to fire up the boys and read the lineup. And it's been great to see that App State is, you know, back and playing now. And I'm sure it's going to take years for that community to recover. I know, obviously, another hurricane came through 2 weeks later in the Tampa area, so they had to go on pause for a little bit. But just a really cool situation. Herm, I know with your job, you're always kind of trying to find like cool hockey stories. And I think this was one that I know even the staff at Open Ice was talking about, because it's just really cool. You know, these big brands that have really good club hockey teams come together for a good cause.
It's awesome just to see that unity across teams as well, regardless of the conference, regardless of the league. To band together after a natural disaster like that is really, really special.
Again, we're not really touching on like the biggest upsets and the best highlights, but some of the crazier stories. This one was one that caught my eye. Amtrak to the game could be the move here. We had the boys at Aurora, which, Fitzy, you're gonna have to do some geography here. The boys from Aurora took an Amtrak to their game at SIUE. What kind of time are we looking at? Like, what is the distance there if you were gonna take that by bus?
I was literally just trying to figure that out before you got to it. Aurora's like, yeah, you're like a suburb of Chicago. We call it like 15-20 minutes of Chicago. I don't know, we're Southern Illinois. I'll have to pull it up on the maps here really quick.
While you're doing that, I'll explain it for the people. So I believe they basically did the math, and they realized that if they took an Amtrak to the game, it was going to be cheaper. So there was a photo of them on social media, all of the boys in one train car with their hockey bags. Quite the sight. I think it was the Detroit Pistons this week. They had to take the subway in New York because of the marathon. And like, I know we've seen like the Leafs players take the subway, and sometimes the Rangers players take the subway. I just love, because it's like every day with club hockey, we see something we've never seen before. Seeing a team take an Amtrak to a game brought a smile to my face.
You said they planned this before. Like, this wasn't just a spur of the moment thing, because it was cheaper to go train.
I know they decided that it was cheaper than whatever the alternative was. I don't know, because they forgot to book a bus and then they needed something.
You're looking at 5 hours in the car versus 7 hours 30 minutes on a train. I don't care how much cheaper it is, I'm taking the bus.
That is brutal. So we wanted to give the boys a shout out for that one. Another cool moment we saw was, I mean, this seems like way long ago, but big upset in college football in a rematch of last year's national championship game, the college football playoff final between Washington and Michigan. Unranked Washington defeated number 10 Michigan on their home field in Seattle. So the next day, the former Michigan guy, Matty Banier, showed up to Kraken practice, and he was wearing a University of Washington ACHA jersey, which was pretty cool to see. I'm sure Matty Banier has never expected to be wearing an ACHA jersey, but there he was at the Kraken practice facility. So that was a cool one. We did a nice little crossover event a couple weekends ago. For the first time ever, College Game Day lined up with our Hockey House Pod Game of the Week. Georgia made the trip out to Austin for a top-ranked SEC matchup as the Dogs took on Texas. And again, it's a classic SEC 3-3. You go out there, you play a hockey game Friday, you go to the football game on Saturday, you play a hockey game Sunday, and you get on the road. And the Dogs took all three. They won the hockey game Friday night 3-1, the football game in a thriller 30-15 on Saturday night, and then the hockey team got the clean sweep on Sunday afternoon. It was an overtime penalty shot from Declan Conway that sealed the deal for the Dogs, And then I think they made the 16-hour drive back to campus after that. So, I mean, talk about hoofing it. I'm sure they wish they had an Amtrak there before getting back on the bus and heading back to Athens. But this is one where I wish we had Glick on to decide the over under on how many students go to the school. But only in the ACHA do we just run into every year a school that we've somehow never heard of, and they just pack the barn. The one that comes to mind for me was Dort University, a private Christian university in Sioux Center, Iowa. The Defenders, the Dort Defenders, they play in ACHA M3 and they pack the barn. I want to say like Dort got their shining moment because I had seen like live barn clips of this packed barn, but it's like, it's tough to like show how crowded it is in a live barn clip. I guess they really upgraded their broadcast team in the offseason. It paid off because we had a game-winning highlight reel goal from Griffin Lennis, who regrouped the puck all by himself and just sends the crowd into a frenzy. Nobody studies the ACHA more than we do. Like, we can rattle off, you know, the Indiana Techs and the Midlands and the Cal State Northbridges, but like Dort University had weaseled by, and now they had their one shining moment.
I think maybe I had seen them on the schedule looking for Game of the Week, but I did not know anything about the program. It was so cool to look through this post. And again, as you mentioned, the broadcast coming in clutch to increase the status and notoriety of a program. I preach it every single time. You invest in your off-ice stuff, you get results on ice.
It was giving the same vibe as like when we told people we were going to Embry-Riddle for the weekend. They were like, where? And then you're like, no, look, this is where we're going. And they're like, oh, that's sick. Like, if we could do the same thing in Sioux Center, Iowa, right? Like that, it looked like a great time. Cool to see like a small community, small school coming together like that. So there was a highlight reel goal, you know, capped off 3 unanswered for the Defenders to beat Kansas in M3 action. A couple other highlights I think worth mentioning. This was Tampa AAU D2 versus Embry-Riddle, funny enough. Chips it between the defenseman legs, goes between the legs. I think I was at doing something, Herm was doing something, and Collins, you got this one up right away on Instagram. But I believe this one came courtesy of Bryce K, correct?
Such a gross clip. I mean, the one-handed between the legs to get through the defender and then go between your own legs, top shelf where mama hides the cookies, is pretty crazy.
Bunch of Michigan goals this week. Chase, he doesn't have his last name in his Instagram bio. Chase on App State, he had a Michigan goal the other day. Riley Monica hit a Michigan for Western Connecticut the other day. Aiden Giorgiano hit the Michigan on his first shift against Erau. First shift, he ends up scoring 6 in a 9-2 win. Then we also had Sebastian Zimborski score a Michigan goal for Kennesaw State in a 9-2 win. It almost comes in waves. That is just the nature of hockey these days. Like, we all see the viral clips. It's almost like, I don't know if you guys saw that really tiny school in Texas where the guy did like the stand on your head celebration after the touchdown. And then all of a sudden there's like 3 guys doing it in the NFL the next day. It's like, that is the power of social media. And I just feel like we go into this cycle of like, no one's doing a Michigan, and then all of a sudden there's like 8 Michigans in a 2-week span in the ACHA. It's crazy how far that move has come.
I was watching a brief documentary about the Michigan from ESPN the other day about how long it took for that move to show up into the NHL. And then once it showed up there, it's been no looking back. But I find it nuts how we're just going to lightly breeze past the fact that this Aiden Giorgiano kid has 6 goal performance. Double Hattie. I guess, what is that, a sock trick? Like, that's absurd.
There are crazier things that we will get to on this list, and it just kind of shows you like how exciting the start of the season has been. That, yeah, we're just gonna skim over like, yeah, 6 goal performance. To start your 6 goal performance with a Michigan is pretty crazy too on the first shift. Like, it's not like he had 5 and then he was like, oh, like, I guess I'll do a Michigan now. No, he set the tone on the first shift with a Michigan goal, which is pretty sick. And like I mentioned, Kennesaw State had a Michigan of their own, which I thought was great to see because they bounced back from that ruthless chirp from the Tennessee broadcasters the other day. They hit them with the old, what do Kennesaw State and the Titanic have in common? Like, they both look good until they hit the ice. Like, just ruthless from the broadcast team. Herm, that's exactly what I wanted to caption the post as, is like, he hit them with the Facebook meme because it was like, such a bad chirp, it's so good. The irony of the situation is that's not getting 300,000 likes on TikTok if it's like a regular chirp, but because he hit them with the Facebook chirp, people were loving it. So glad to see Kennesaw State recovered from it though. Another highlight reel goal we had was Nick Oberon. He carved up the Indiana defense. This one reminded me of like vintage Bobby Ryan, like dicing up the Nashville Predators before the Predators had switched to the yellow jerseys when they were wearing like the navy blue and silver. And I want to say it was Shea Weber, maybe it was the defenseman who Bobby Ryan jumped, but that goal reminded me of this one. I think it was also worth mentioning, if we're going to talk about Indiana being on the wrong end of things, they started the season 0-7 after coming off of the national championship win last year. They had a gauntlet of a schedule to start. I believe they played Ohio M2, which Ohio M2 had a really good season last year. They're off to a great start. Then they got swept by Lindenwood. Then they went to a showcase with St. Thomas, Concordia, and Liberty. They start 0-7. In their last seven, they're now 6-1. So they've crawled their way back to 6-8. The Hoosiers trending in the right direction, but maybe a little bit of a national championship hangover for the boys in Bloomington. But Fitzy, maybe because of all the attention that's on the football team now, people don't seem to care that the hockey team has slipped out of the gate.
I've been one of the skeptics with the football team. Each week I'm just waiting for the shoe to fall, and I don't see them getting past Ohio State. Who knows what's going to happen against Michigan? I'm interested to see when the rankings come out for M2, where Indiana, if they're in there, where that all falls, just based off, like you said, kind of like the strength of schedule, how that all is going to play out. So I'm very interested to see when that all comes out.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And another chance for us to bring up, we'll get into a little bit of rankings talk in a bit, but I mean, very quickly, after 1 week of these rankings coming out, like what we say is going to be pretty irrelevant. But it's always funny, like the M1 rankings come out, women's one comes out, and then all of a sudden we get M3 and everyone's like, where are the M2 rankings? I think people forget that there's like 600 teams in ACHA M2. Like, they need all the computer data they can get before they pump out some of those rankings. So just be patient. They're coming. They're on the way. And I'm sure our friends at AAU will have the My Hockey rankings out in no time. But sticking with the ACHA, I wanted to give the ACHA a quick shout out. We were a part of the Sports Equinox on Monday, October 28th. All four major sports leagues, including the MLS and the ACHA, the Power Six, were in action. The two ACHA games on the slate, Colby College made the trip to Orono. They defeated the Black Bears 5-2. And then Indiana Tech women, they defeated Lake Superior State on the road 4-3 in overtime to play spoiler on Pink the Rink night. So wanted to give some stick taps to those teams for playing on the Sports Equinox. Mentioned ACHA rankings, AAU rankings, tough start this year for RIT. They had a weekend series against St. Bonaventure. So we got a rare AAU D1 versus ACHA M1, and the Bonnies took care of business. They beat the Tigers 7-0 on Friday night at home. And then they made the trip to RIT on Saturday, where it was a barn burner, but the Bonnies came out on top 8-5. It reignited an old NECHL rivalry. St. Bonaventure, not too long ago, was an ACHA M1 team and jumped ship and went towards the AAU. And now I know people like to say like ACHA M1 is the best, but those teams at the bottom of ACHA M1, and now kind of that's where RIT has found themselves this season. They still haven't won a game yet. So interesting to see how that shakes out. I wonder if we'll get any more AAU D1 versus ACHA M1 action this season, but very small sample size. But I think a conversation I've very much looking forward to having on this podcast, some of maybe the most exciting news, ACHA related news, did not have Gronk making a club hockey reference on national TV on my bingo board. But of course, Gronk was friends with Austin Capobianco. Capobianco was the infamous Yankees fan who did fan interfere with Mookie Betts in game 4 of the World Series. Turns out he played ACHA hockey at the University of Arizona. And again, he went viral in game 4. He was on the team when Gronk was at the University of Arizona. And Gronk was on ESPN's Up and Adam show, where he revealed that was his friend from Arizona. We actually did some digging. We connected with his former teammate, David Herman, who was on the team at the time. David Herman is now the head coach of Cal State Northridge. He said, "I was there from 2009 to 2012. Capobianco was on the 2009-10 team with me. I can confirm nearly the whole team was maniacs. Gronk basically lived at Capobianco's house. Gronk was injured that season and he never missed a hockey party. I followed up by saying, would he go to games at the Tucson Convention Center? And he said, oh yeah, all the time. I might even be able to find a picture somewhere of him skating with the mascot during intermission." we might need a 30 for 30 about Gronk's relationship with the University of Arizona hockey team. And I was going back and forth with Herm because I was like, Herm, do we want to promote? This guy's going viral for the wrong reasons, but like, it is pretty funny that he played in the ACHA and that Gronk knows what club hockey is. So Herm, I'll kind of toss it over to you because I'm sure your office had a good laugh about this whole situation.
Oh my God. I didn't think that it was going to hit the bar for open ice. And I was off that day and we were discussing of should it get an open ice collab. I was like, I don't know. And then at like 3 p.m. the next day, it just pops up in the Slack chat. And I'm like, oh, man, we should have taken care of this. The moment we made the actual post and had the momentum going, I didn't think that they were going to care about club hockey. But you know what? Rob Gronkowski elevates the star power of it a little bit.
We are ACHA nerds. We know how to navigate and find stuff on the internet. I could not believe how fast Bar Down found a photo of him in uniform from the starting lineup back in the day. That was impressive. So I wanted to tip my cap to them. A couple more headlines to get through here. Wanted to give a shout out to the Liberty women's team. The number 3 ranked Flames knocked off number 1 Maryville in overtime the other night. It was the first midnight game in Liberty women's hockey history, which was a great crowd on hand for that one. They completed the sweep with a 5-1 win the following day. Well, also wanted to give stick taps to the University of Oregon hockey team. They won on Hank Bradford night. The Ducks defeated Alabama 3-1 with the Bradford family in attendance. Of course, the Ducks honoring their teammate who passed away in September prior to the game. So really cool moment for them. Cool to see the family come out onto the ice all on their Bradford number 1 jerseys, and a tough thing for that team to go through once again, but really cool to see them get the win on that occasion. I'll toss it over. We got one last section kind of headlines. These are jerseys that have made the headlines, and we'll kind of maybe turn this into a roundtable conversation. So if I mention a jersey that you guys maybe had an eye on, Herm, I'll throw this one over to you first because I know you and I had talked about this, but I was skeptical of this jersey when I first got a photo of it. The Syracuse Hockey Hall of Fame jerseys that came out were a tremendous success. The team wore the jerseys on Friday and Saturday of alumni weekend. They were a tribute to Syracuse hockey history. They ended up raising over $5,000 for the program on the jersey auctions alone, something that you know a lot about given your history at Ohio, but a slam dunk.
It was such a clean look. I know we rag on the cream jerseys of just doing off-white jerseys for the sake of doing off-white jerseys. I think in this case, nodding to the heritage of Syracuse University, it fit really, really well. It just looked awesome out on the Tennessee ice.
But I would have loved to see the old SU, like with the more diagonal typeface on it, rather than, unfortunately, what looked like to me basically just like Helvetica. Still a really, really good jersey, to Herm's point. It's one of the few cream jerseys, in my opinion, that really stood out to me.
Collins, for the longest time in the 90s, the jerseys were just Helvetica SU on the front. So they did replicate like an actual logo that they used. It used to be on like an Islanders style jersey. But we did see some jerseys over the weekend and some old school photos of the logo you're talking about. And I hope that can get brought back. But speaking of you know, history and your program's history, Kutztown did a whiteout 40th anniversary jersey, which is maybe to celebrate their past. They did a little bit of a futuristic look. Not crazy about the all white when you don't have a white helmet. It can kind of be a tough look, especially they had the maroon gloves and the maroon helmet. But I got to give them an A+ for creativity, for going with a crazy sock design and the waist. Another one of my favorites on this list is the Scranton Electric City jersey. I have too many ACHA jerseys in my closet that I know what to do with. ACHA, AAU, a Scranton Electric City jersey would be on my wish list. I think just like growing up watching The Office and the scene, like Scranton, what the electrics, like that is awesome. And that is why club hockey is undefeated. We get a jersey that just says Electric City on the front. Another jersey on this list here, I don't know if you guys saw, somebody made a viral TikTok about this where they called it the new jersey. UNLV hockey released basically a carbon copy of the New Jersey Devils jerseys. That would make this one UNLV's new New Jersey. I'm just going to throw you in a tongue twister trying to process that, but basically they look that New Jersey went for UNLV, call a spade here, right? We're talking Vegas. I mean, they ripped off the jersey. So we can give them a hard time on that one. The internet had some funny memes for that one. Love seeing Illinois going with like an ice blue look. I know that's kind of a color that rarely gets used for Illinois, but they throw in that baby blue every once in a while, whether it be, you know, baseball uniform, or I think if they've done it for football and basketball as well. So they're on a little bit of a run here. I know they were in the last ranking. They got swept by McKendree last weekend, but they've like given some teams a run for their money. Like they had close games with Michigan State M2, and then the next weekend they had one goal games with Minot State. Like it's a very, like, I don't know, Herm, is the Big Pond back? Like, is home ice advantage matter again for Illinois? Well, we're gonna find out this weekend because they have a huge CSCHL rivalry matchup with Iowa State coming to town. But good to see a program like that trending in the right direction and coming out with some cool third jerseys. A couple more just traditional ones for Michigan. Central Michigan with a black alternate, a nod to their past. That one was cool as well. And then I loved Oakland. I think this is like a classic college hockey set. They have the home white that says Oakland, the road black with the mascot logo, and then like a cream third jersey. They knocked it out of the park. Rebirth did it again, and then they went full head to toe. They just wore the skates out on the concrete, which was awesome for the photos. They just it looks like the comments, what they did is they just took old blades and the boys just went to town and walked around campus on them.
There is no winning with comment sections in uniform reveals. It very clearly seemed like 90% of that comment section did not look at the circled photo on the first slide with the tape on it. Let me get this straight. Syracuse goes out and wears sneakers, gets roasted for that. You go out and try and do like roller skates, you get roasted for that. You put tape over the steel, you get roasted for that. Where is the win in that situation if you're trying to show off the full uniform and then do it on campus? I genuinely would love to pick these people's brains who are so incensed in these sections that it's insane.
I think the only one that didn't get any flack was Oregon, because they had a full-on ice sheet outside of the stadium there. So I guess if you want to win over the comments section, you either get lucky and it freezes, or you have to build a sheet out there in front of wherever you want to shoot. So add that to your production costs.
If I remember correctly too, I know we talked about like natural disasters at the top of the show. I'm pretty sure the only reason Oregon had that happen is they had like a severe ice storm roll through Eugene, and that's what froze over the entire out campus. And then they did the photo shoot. So making the most of the elements there. We got a couple other things to touch on, but we'll take a break. We'll get to our interview now. This week's guests are Zach Wilson. No, not that Zach Wilson. We have Zach Wilson and Griffin Sugiswara from Arkansas, two beauties that Herm and I got to meet back in St. Louis when we first made the trip down there. And so they're men's league heroes now. They graduated a couple of years ago, and hilarious stories about going to nationals and maybe the festivities after nationals that were quite entertaining to hear from. And as always, this interview is brought to you by Selly Hockey Co. If you're listening to this and you haven't already got your team hooked up for the fall semester with a custom order. I know the holidays are around the corner here, but if you want to get a custom order in, head to sellyhockeyco.com. Find out more information there. We just did a team order for Niagara's ACHA team. They got a sick design coming in with the Niagara Falls in the background and the purple eagle head logo there. Rollins was another one that they're a College Hockey South team. An awesome custom order we did for them. Their mascot is the Tars, which is like, I think a tar is just like a guy who goes on a ship, but it's him holding a hockey stick. So it looks sick too. And I want to mention it now because now is the time, you know, if you want to get a team order going now, it'll be ready for the boys when they get back on campus for the second semester. So again, head to sellyhockeyco.com. Learn more today, get your team hooked up. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to the boys from Arkansas, Zach Wilson and Griffin Sugiswara. We're pleased to be joined by two former members of the University of Arkansas hockey team, former Razorback assistant captain Griffin Sugiswara and former Razorback captain Zach Wilson. Boys, it's a pleasure to welcome you guys to the Hockey House.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us. Yeah, appreciate it.
Been a long time coming. I feel like you were due to have Arkansas on the pod. We've been doing this for too many years to not to have talked to any Razorbacks. So it's a pleasure to have you guys on. Zach, I'm thinking back. I think I met you right after the Notre Dame overtime game. I think I did like an interview with you and McAtee, and I don't think it ever saw the light of day. But we did that interview and we recorded it in the bowels of Centene.
Yeah, no, I remember that. You caught us at our highest high right there after an all-time franchise game for the Razorbacks.
I mean, you want to talk like welcome to Razorback hockey moment for us. I think like we were heading out the back door to like go back to the Hollywood casino and call it a night. And we just walk in and it's the start of overtime. And people are like, I think like Arkansas is going to pull the goalie in overtime. And sure enough, you guys pulled the goalie. One of the weirder ACHA rules that involves teams having to pull goalies in overtime in the national tournament. That was our welcome to Razorback hockey moment. You guys won in overtime. Yeah, they were doing the hog call. And it was like, I want to say like Leprechaun at the end of the rainbow. Like we found our jackpot. And it was like, who is Arkansas hockey? And why have we not been covering these guys as much as we are right now? But it was great to meet you guys. We caught you guys on a wild ride at Nationals, and now we can catch you guys after the fact. You're retired men's league players like me, and we can just sit back and reminisce of the glory days of the ACHA.
Yep, do that every single day.
Kind of just walk us through your hockey backgrounds, Griff, if you want to start here. Elite Prospects tells me you grew up playing hockey in Texas. Kind of walk me through how you got into the game.
I was actually born in Los Angeles, California. Born and raised, lived there for 12 years. Played for Junior Kings and a few other teams down there. Dad got a job transfer all the way out to Texas. And I was thinking, oh man, like, I guess I got to start horseback riding and give up hockey. You know, I was able to play hockey down there, and I thought about juniors, and then I had a teammate, Jake Scherer, actually convinced me to just come up to Arkansas, get an education, and play some hockey while I was there.
I gotta say, like, most guys have elite prospects picks, but when you Google search your name, about the second photo that comes up is just a beautiful headshot from your 14U double A year with the Dallas Penguins.
Oh man, that hair was something else. I don't know what I was thinking. I can't believe my parents even let me out of the house with that.
Well, you get like the glow up effect though, because right next to it is your Arkansas headshot photo. It turned out all right.
Perfect. I needed that one.
Willie, walk us through where you grew up and kind of how you got into the game.
Yeah, born and raised here in St. Louis. My grandfather played for Michigan Tech. My dad played Michigan Tech. My uncle played for the Blues and Blackhawks. So hockey was pretty much in my blood no matter what. I have an older brother who played. I was going to play no matter what. AAA Blues all growing up, a year in the USP, a year in the NA3, and then found my way to Arkansas.
And we got to go a little more in depth here. Like, how did you guys first find out about Arkansas? Griff, I know you got there first. So I know you mentioned playing with a former teammate there, but did you go on a tour? Did you reach out to the coach? Like, how did the recruiting process go? And how early on did you know you wanted to go to Arkansas?
I didn't finalize any enrollment stuff until July. Some of the tryout stuff or whatever was mid-August. My buddy had to give me the coach's number, though. I gave him a shout like, hey, I'm coming. I hope it's okay. It's a little late notice, but hope it's all good. But yeah, I hadn't even toured or done anything. I just last kind of second moment to just go be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go to Arkansas. We pay $100 to try out, so I'm sure they were glad to just take my money regardless. So they were just like, yeah, come on down.
Now, at that point, your freshman year, were there two teams at Arkansas still?
Yes. So we had the D3, D1 team. I will say there was like a civil war between the teams. I didn't know too much of it because I just had shown up, but they were just telling me, don't talk to the D1 guys.
Did the D1 guys get voted off the island at the end of the year?
I know it was like halfway through like summer that I found out that they were just like gone and that they were going to mix the teams. And I had mixed feelings because I knew some of the D1 guys. I didn't care about the Civil War. I was glad that I was able to talk to those guys, but it did come like as a shock.
It's always interesting, you know, talking to some teams. Some teams have a rivalry going. Some teams treat it where it's like varsity JV. Some teams treat it like a minor league system. Willie, that's when you arrive on campus for your freshman year. Kind of walk us through, you know, what led you, what were some of the final decisions you made before, you know, choosing Arkansas?
The NA3 has like that Christmas showcase every year. Andrew Falls, our ex associate head coach, came and scouted, pulled me and a couple teammates aside after the game, said, you know, we're with Arkansas hockey and we'd love to have you, yada, yada, yada. And we went back in the locker room, like, Arkansas hockey, like that's not on the radar. I didn't even know that they had a team, kind of a thing. So I didn't give it a ton of thought initially. Me and those two buddies went down for a visit, loved the campus. It was like a Monday night. We went and we stayed with Camp McAtee and some D1 guys. And like initially, like the campus was awesome. That swayed me in the right direction. But also like they had a practice the next morning at like 6 a.m. And they were like staying up boozing until like 4 a.m. I was like, I don't think I want to do this. Like this is turning me off from the team. I want to at least be competitive. And my other two buddies loved it. And funny enough, I was the guy to go and they didn't. But none of that stuff went on while we were there, thankfully. But I reached out to my coach, like, hey, any traction with anything D3, any of that stuff? There's a couple schools interested, but then, you know, you look at the numbers, you look at tuition, you look at the fun you could have in the SEC and the memories you can build there. It's like, all right, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you're like, we don't even do this in the NA3. Like, we're not boozing the night before morning skate.
Yeah, not a shot.
I know the first time we talked, there was a handful of St. Louis guys on the team. Is that a popular, you know, area for people at Arkansas to come from? Are there a lot of St. Louis people who end up going to Arkansas?
The team, I would say, is like 40% St. Louis, 40% Dallas, or like greater Dallas area, and then like 20% from random spots. So there's a big pull being 5 hours away, and like we do touch state tuition. So like the difference between in-state and out-of-state tuition is like significantly lower if your state touches Arkansas, which Missouri does. So that's a big draw too for kids.
This is a two-part question, but Griff, I'll throw it over to you first. Like, was there a welcome to the ACHA moment for you? And then was there a welcome to the SEC moment, maybe an off-ice moment when, you know, you're a freshman in college at an SEC school?
So welcome to the ACHA moment. It was like my third, fourth home game or something like that. And first team we played was Vanderbilt, maybe a couple big guys, and then we played in Mo State. I've never played in such a physical environment, and I actually got a concussion within that like second period or something. And I try to hit a guy who's, you know, 4 years older than me, weighs 100 more pounds than me. Oh man, I ate it, and I just couldn't stand to play Mo State for the rest of the year. Welcome to the SEC. Definitely when we played Bama my freshman year, I was like, oh my God, like our football team sucks. Like, this is what I have to live through right now, is that we suck at football. Turned out to be better as the years got on, but still heartbreaking sometimes.
Yeah, you're like, oh, like SEC football, like this is sick. And then like you have to play like the big dogs, and it's like, oh no, not as fun. Not what I signed up for. Willie, what about you? Welcome to the ACHA moment or welcome to the SEC moment?
Yeah, mine was first game. We played DBU, first game of my career. Me and Griff, our line starts. I remember we lose a draw, they dump it in. I'm a winger, so I go back, catch the breakout pass, look up, and I just get run over by a DBU kid. McD picks up the puck, goes down and scores. And so like I remember getting up, seeing the celebration, and I'm like, all right, this is it. Welcome to it. Let's keep it going. So that was a wake-up call. But as far as the SEC, just like that first game day, like first home football game day, you can just feel the whole city alive. Like you walk through like our apartment complex and like every room has a party. You walk out, like there's tons of people on the street walking around, and everyone's just all about football. So being able to be a part of that and having a lot of fun doing it was another big draw of why I came there in the first place.
It's like across the board in the SEC, and you know, you do a deep dive at any school, but I feel like the Arkansas fans are so passionate regardless of what the sport is. You know, I think a lot of notoriety in baseball, of course, too, and you know, the basketball team is going to be on the rise this year as well. So I feel like Hog Nation just comes out, and it's very evident when you know, you turn on an Arkansas hockey game of all the teams on campus, and then you got, you know, almost 1,000 people, right? We're talking crowds of 700, 750 on a good night. What do you guys remember, like the first big crowd you played in front of at Arkansas?
I remember, Well, going back to your point, like people just love the Hogs down there. Like they don't care what sport it is. Like they're going to show up. And I remember like the first 2 years, it was a point where we were getting more just like random fans from Arkansas than we were of like parents or students in the crowd. Like there was just people showing up like, let's go Hogs. Like we're here to support. And then I think like my sophomore, junior year, that's when we got the social media presence, the jersey promos, all that stuff. And that first jersey promo game, the military night, like it was surreal, like standing room only. The whole lower bowl was like full of people, and then we set out benches like 2 feet behind the boards so people could stand, and that was full all around. And we were like skating around in warm-ups, like you see the line out the window, and it's like, oh, like this is the potential that we could have. We just try to keep the momentum going from there as far as attendance.
Yeah, that game I felt like I couldn't stick handle skate. I kind of forgot how to do everything because we had played in, you know, in front of crowds, and it wasn't a big deal. But playing that wearing a jersey that means so much, it was like, you don't want to mess up. So I just completely overthought everything and just didn't know what to do as soon as I stepped foot on the ice.
Well, I got to ask, because Will, your freshman year, Griff, your sophomore year, I think it's a very interesting time if we're looking back at the timeline of club hockey, because this is pre-AAU college hockey, CHF, College Hockey South. Like, it's the final year of the SECHC, right? So you guys are M3 and you have all these SEC rivals that you're playing against. Was there a team that you guys played against that year that was like a fun road trip in the SEC?
I've always enjoyed, not the travel part, but always enjoyed playing Ole Miss. They're always competitive and it was always fun with them. That one kind of goes deep before I even started playing. They always hated each other. When I got to be a part of it and play against them, it was always fun. It was always physical, a little dirty here and there, waking up with bruises after playing them.
For me, like, going to Alabama was cool because, like, that's in the SP rink, so, like, a little bit bigger barn. But just, like, being the SEC, like, putting on the hog and then playing against, like, the Florida Gators, the Alabama Crimson Tide, like, just, like, being in an SEC conference is so cool. Of, like, just the trademarks and the name brands that you're playing for and against was a blast, and that's what got the students into it too, which is kind of sucks we went away from it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We've talked to some of the Ole Miss guys and, like, their greatest memory is that SECHC championship game. I'm sure that, I mean, not to bring up poor memories from you guys. Yeah, the smirks on your faces right now. It sounds like the Ole Miss goalie just, like, stood on his head, like, pulled it out of his back pocket.
I know that he was the backup because I guess I'd line up on the faceoff and I'd ask them, like, what happened to your guys' other goalie? And they're like, oh, he failed. Like, he didn't make grades. And I was like, oh gosh, like, that sucks, because he was a stud. Like, he was on top of it. And yeah, he was pretty good in that championship game.
I didn't even know that. That just makes me feel even worse.
Now you look at those teams in the SEC and they're AAU now, and it's, you know, it's South Carolina, it's Florida, it's Georgia, it's Bama. And I'm like, who won the last SECHC? And it's like, Ole Miss? And then, like, we interviewed the Ole Miss guys and they walk us through this underdog run they went on. You guys end up still going to regionals at that point. And now I'm looking, it says you were the Pacific region champions. Like, refresh my geography here, but I don't think Arkansas is in the Pacific region.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's all about. It's so confusing. I would look at it too, especially when we first started. I was like, Pacific, like, what? Why are we not in, like, the South?
Yeah, so I'm assuming you guys went to regionals, you know, one, you know, two or three games, and then, you know, you punch your ticket to nationals, and then the pandemic came, correct?
We actually didn't even play in regionals. I think at that time, like, the top two seeds in each region got the auto bid, and then, like, people would go play for 3 and 4. So I think they had regionals of 3 and 4. We got our brackets, and then COVID happened.
Every team has, like, a story about, you know, them not being able to practice, I'm not going to nationals. Like, I got to imagine there were some seniors on that team that you were pretty bummed that you were done playing with. Any guys you want to shout out, like, guys maybe who were leaders on that team when you guys were freshmen and sophomores that didn't get to go to Natties that year?
Yeah, Chris Stovall for sure. He was our center. He was the biggest, like, meathead. Like, he was a hardo, but then, like, I don't even know he's just different, but we love him so much. And it was awesome playing with him. And I wish we got to play with him longer. And we tried to tell him the fifth year, but he was not about it.
We had such a good group that year, like Deggs, Kerr, Keezer,
Foster,
Dom. Hope I'm not forgetting anyone. But, like, Foster for me, like, that was a guy who was 29 my freshman year. Like, he graduated, he did his own thing from high school, and then Stovall was actually the one to, like, convince him, like, hey, you should probably get a degree, this or that. So he came back, great sport about it. Like, he knew he was getting chirped every single game. Like, hey, how's your 401k? Like, you need to get home to your wife and kids. But he loved it. He took me and a bunch of young guys under his wing and kind of taught us what life was about, because he's almost halfway to 60. So a lot of experience there.
Is that what McAtee was chasing? Was he chasing the age record for Arkansas hockey?
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty close. He was about 25, 26. But yeah, he was getting chirped about it all the time too. And I mean, we called him Grandpa as well throughout our years, because, you know, he was just getting old, and he was always kind of moody sometimes, yelling at the younger guys. So it was just like, oh yeah, he fits the perfect grandpa mold for us.
It was fun. Like I mentioned at the start of this, like, was introduced to you guys. I walked in, all of a sudden you have an empty net and, you know, you're winning a game in overtime with the goalie pulled. And then, like, very quickly after that, it was like people would walk by the rink and be like, McAtee's still here? I swear I saw him at three more national tournaments after that.
Yep, sounds about right.
Arkansas legend.
they ought to retire the jersey there.
Andrew Falls told us that he was going to retire our jerseys, and he never did anything. He showed me a banner of like our last name and just completely threw it away. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, I imagine getting back, you know, in chronological order, that next season, a little interesting. I know you guys made it to the national tournament. There was talk that there, like, originally when the ACHA announced, like, there wasn't even going to be an M3 national tournament. And then I think, you know, you guys and some other teams made some noise, like, hey, we've been playing games, like, we want to play a tournament here. I'm looking at the record, you guys were 19-2 that year, so you got a ton of games under your belt. Were you playing like the same teams over and over again? Like, how did you find opponents?
Yeah, so we, funny story about like that fall, like, no one knew what was going to happen. Like, yeah, I think the Maka came first of like, hey, Maka's canceled this year. There was still some hope for the national tournament, but then like the full first semester got canceled. And then we heard the news that the national tournament was canceled that night. It was like a random Wednesday. And I was out at the bars with a couple teammates, Grant Fletcher, Zach Riley. Riley was a senior. He was so distraught because he's like, no nationals, like, my career's done. Like, we can play some throwaway games against DBU, but like, it's over. So like, I remember like me and Fletch taking him to the piano bar and like singing our hearts out to Drops of Jupiter because we thought his career was over. And then like 3 weeks later, it was, all right, back on. We got a few teams. We were so lucky. I think we played the most games, like you said, like 21 games. It got repetitive. We played most state like 6 times, played DBU like 8 times, but I would have definitely rather had that than not play at all.
I can only imagine if you guys had played and there was no national tournament, like, you got to think by the 6th time you played DBU, there's like a bench clearing brawl, right? If there's no nationals on the line, like, did those games against DBU and Mo State get chippy when you're playing them for the 4th, 5th, 6th time?
DBU, not as much. I don't know. It just always seemed like they were nice. So I don't know how to explain it. Mo State, definitely. There's always been some bad blood between, at least on ice. Off ice, not so much, but on ice, there's always bad blood with those guys.
What was that national tournament like? Because I tuned in. I remember that was like the weird year where, because of COVID, every league had their own championship. So D1 was down in St. Louis at Maryville. D2 was out in North Dakota. D3, you guys were in Michigan. And it was crazy because that was still a time in sports where, like, you weren't seeing packed barns. The M1 tournament at Maryville, like, people were spread out in the bleachers wearing masks and they were limiting the number of people in the building. You cut to like the North Dakota games going on for M2 and it's a packed barn, nobody's wearing masks. And then I feel like the rink was like kind of quiet for you guys. And then you get to the semifinals and the national championship game and that place was jam packed. And you guys were basically like the road team because you had to play Hope in the final. Like, what do you remember from those national tournament games?
We had a good run. Like, I mean, 2 of the 5 games were against DBU in most states, like more of the same. It was just like annoying at that point. We had a sick game against Michigan. Like, that was probably at the time, the biggest win in program history to put us in winning that pool. And we ended up being most state in the semis. But yeah, the championship game. So what I remember was it was the height of COVID. So what they said was like, I think it was like 100 to 150 fans of each team were allowed in the arena. I don't know who's monitoring this, but like, okay, like, I don't even know if we had enough parents to take that number. And then Hope was like, I think they're like an hour or two away from Grand Rapids, where we were. I guess someone opened the back door and before we knew it, they had like 1,000 kids in the stands. And we're all just like, what the hell? Like, I thought we had a rule here, like, caught us a little bit off guard, and it was tough to play. And it was definitely an away game for us that game. But that was the first time we'd made it to even the semifinals of the national tournament, I believe. So that was a pretty huge win.
Yeah, even after we had beat Michigan, we took to Twitter and, you know, all these people back from Arkansas are seeing like Arkansas hockey and stuff. And they're saying, oh my God, I didn't know Arkansas was an NCAA. Is this the Frozen Four? And I'm just like, no, like, unfortunately not, but it's still cool that we beat Michigan. And some people just ignore that fact and be like, wow, this team's NCAA, didn't even know that. It's like, oh, that's fair. Well, let's think of it for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. John in Fayetteville saw that you guys beat Michigan in the Frozen Four, and he wants to build a rink tomorrow. Again, I know you guys didn't get the outcome you wanted there, but I mean, that had to have been a cool experience because, again, at that time, like, a lot of teams weren't even having seasons. A lot of teams, if they were playing, they weren't playing in front of fans. And then here you guys are at the biggest game of the year, and it's like, they can't fit another body into this rink in Grand Rapids. And I thought you, Willie, I thought you were going to say that they snuck in wearing Razorback gear. And then when they got in, they unraveled their jackets.
No, they didn't even need to. They just left floodgate open and before you knew it, the stands were packed.
That kind of brings us to that next year. Again, you guys are cruising right through 21-22 season, 19-2 record. Route 66 champions, what's that all about? Was that a tournament you played in, or was that like a rivalry trophy?
That's most state puts on a showcase every November. Most state, and I think like DBU, we will play like three teams that just would not travel to us if it was just like home games. So it's like some Michigan teams, like New Mexico. So it's just like a three-game series, and whoever has the best record and goal differential, you win like a little Route 66 plaque. So that's what that was.
The other one on here, I did find the reasoning behind this one, but the Battle of the Ozarks champion. Is that a trophy with most state?
Yeah, so that's our four-game series that we play throughout the year. Obviously, four games is even number, so if we go 2-2 after the final game, it'll go to a shootout. But I think we won it all.
We won both, but the first year, I think it did go to a shootout at most state. Shout out Brad Estrada, shootout winning goal.
Yeah.
Still lost the game, so it was still tough. But
was that, I think I've seen the clip of this one. You guys lost the game, and then because the series was tied 2-2, you went to a shootout, you won the shootout and got the trophy.
Yeah. And then their coach after too, remember, he was like, yeah, I guess technically we beat you in overtime for one of our wins, so like technically we shouldn't have had a shootout, but you guys won anyway, so it doesn't matter. So we're like, okay. We were just pissed off we lost at that point. Like half the guys were like, oh, we won the fish. The other half were like, damn.
I mean, that's a great looking trophy. I saw a photo of it. That's a trophy you want to win.
I broke it immediately as soon as we got it. It was in the locker room, and it was like freshly made, like, I don't know, a couple weeks prior. Or no, we didn't get it until the Maka tournament, because like the coaches were still making it. And I guess the glue hadn't set, and it was on like the trophy rack. And I went to take it off for some reason. I think we wanted like a photo up or something. And the fish just comes falling down and just breaks in half. And everyone looks at me and I'm just like, shit.
So we also broke the Maka trophy as well.
The Maka tournament's a big one. You guys kind of cruise through and go on to the title game. Like, what were some of the best memories from that tournament?
That was the first stepping stone for our team, I think, to actually put our name on something that we won. Like, I feel like up until that point, like, SECs didn't go our way. Nationals got canceled. You know, we losing the national championship the year prior. Like, aside from a few showcases, like, we hadn't really won a serious trophy. Going there, like, that's all everyone was thinking about. Like, are we just going to be perennial chokers, like never put a trophy to the Razorback? And we were finally able to get the job done. And that was like a huge weight off our shoulders. Like, okay, like not only do we deserve to be here, but like we can get the job done also.
Was there like a spot on campus that you're bringing that Maka trophy to as soon as the boys got it?
We should have.
But we
straight to JJ's Bar and Grill for some happy minutes.
That's the spot for the hockey boys.
Yeah, eat it up every time.
There we go. And it sounds like this trophy wouldn't have even lasted long enough to go to the bar.
Yeah.
My fault.
I carried it into the locker room, and we had it like down low so that when we got into the locker room, we could lift it up. And I was holding it, and I did that. I don't even know. You were just really close to me, and it just went straight into his elbow and just knocked off like one of those side like handle things. And it was just like, all right, well, just another trophy that we've broken.
Brutal. But hey, you get another bid to Nationals, and Willie, you must have been pretty pumped. I mean, Nationals in St. Louis. I know this is like a pretty new facility, but had you played at Centene growing up, or was that like kind of a new experience for you to get to play there in front of like the home fans?
No, that was built in like, I want to say a little bit before COVID maybe. So I'd skated in there like a couple times, but yeah, it was special. Like I remember telling my parents like, hey, Maka's going to be in St. Louis this year, and they're all pumped up. And then like a week later, Nationals got announced. It's like, hey, Nationals is also going to be in St. Louis this year. So that was huge for us, for me, for my family, but for our team, like I said, we have a ton of St. Louis guys there. So that was more kind of our home ice advantage when we were playing St. Louis. So it was just a special tournament. Aside from what happened on the ice, just to have all the family and friends there was a lot of fun.
Yeah, like going back to this year's tournament, I know Arkansas was in it and Mizzou was in it, but like even seeing the crowds that Mizzou was drawing at the M3 tournament, if they could have somehow swung it where Mizzou and Arkansas were in the same pool, you were talking about selling out Centene.
When we play in the Maka tournaments, like Maryville would get absolutely packed. I couldn't imagine, like we were in like the Plager rink in Centene anyways for like our semifinals and their semifinals, and that was packed just with Mizzou fans and then just with Arkansas fans. So I couldn't imagine like both of us in that rink.
Walk me through how you guys put yourself in a position where you have to pull the goalie in overtime to send yourself to the semifinals. Like, what hiccup was there along the way in pool play that caused you guys to need to pull the goalie in overtime?
Well, first off, first game we went to overtime. Luckily, we won that one. Second game, we had lost to Nebraska, who like we generally usually beat. For whatever reason, tough times. I couldn't tell you what exactly happened. Notre Dame was undefeated, so it was technically like head-to-head, but also they had two wins. We had one overtime win, one loss. So we just strictly had to beat them. It was so many ups and downs that game. Going into overtime, so nervous. And I remember there was like a minute left, and I was already down on myself, like, oh, this is it. Like, there's no way. But yeah, that second loss to Nebraska was the one that really, like, after the Nebraska game, when we got into the locker room, I looked at Willie and I was like, dude, that's it. Like, our season's done. Like, this sucks.
I actually remember being in the rink for that Nebraska game, now that you mention it. And I remember, like, you could see how much it meant to the Nebraska guys. They were like, we never beat Arkansas. They were like, this is huge for our program. And then kind of like walk me through, like, is there chatter on the bench? Like, hey, if this thing goes to overtime, we're going to have to pull the goalie. Or at that point, are you just trying to win the game in overtime? You're not even thinking about like, oh gosh, there's only a minute left. We better pull the goalie.
No, we knew full well. Like, we watched the other game, the Miami versus Nebraska game before, because that had implications. I think that ended in a tie. So we knew going in, we were like, we have to win. Like, we can't tie. It was kind of like, we knew that, but we didn't really think about like, hey, if this thing goes to overtime and like the clock ticks, like we're going to be pulling our goalie. It wasn't until after regulation, like we were huddled up, and that's when we realized like, hey, like we have to win this in this next 10 minutes. Like there's no tie. There's no nothing. Like, it's do or die right now.
And so I believe, is it Michael Ellis, that if this Instagram caption is correct, he pots the game winner once the goalie gets pulled. Absolute pandemonium at Centene for this one. And like, what do you guys remember from that? Like, maybe it's in the, you know, jumping off the bench and going into the pile or getting back to the locker room. But like, what's a favorite memory from that you'll always remember?
Sure. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. So we were both on the ice. I remember I was absolutely gassed. Like, I was so tired because we had been out there the minute and a half prior. So at that point, it's been like 2 minutes that we're out there. I'm just like gasping for air. We already had played one overtime before this. It's just unbearable to breathe. But then I'm just standing in front of the net. I was like, I'm just going to park here. Like, I'm not going to be wandering around. He got the puck. I was like, why didn't he, Kevin, shoot it? Who was the one who made the beautiful pass across the ice? It's like, why didn't he shoot it? Like, we need to tip the puck on that. And I look over, Ellis shoots, and I turn around, and it's just like the puck's in the net. And like from there, I like blacked out. I was so happy. It was an unexplainable feeling that we were able to even overcome that and like be able to get to that point.
Pretty much same point of view. I was right next to him in front of the net, gas, just parking it. We had like, obviously 6-on-5. So we like had an umbrella on top, like McAtee moves it down to Kevin LaPlante, and he's a righty on his right side. He has a shot. Everyone's going to him, and you just see the puck go back across. And I remember like thinking just like, Griff, like, dude, what are you doing? We have like 20 seconds left. Shoot the damn puck. And then you just see it get on Ellis's stick shooting, and then looking at the net, and there's no goalie in the net. He skates off to the boards, just pure like pandemonium. Like, we can't believe it. We're jumping against the glass, like my whole family there, my aunt's like on the glass banging like right in front of all of us, like all the families on the glass. And then we call the Hogs. Like, it was easily the best hockey memory in my life.
I was gonna say, by the time you guys turn your heads in front of the net, like, Ellis is probably sweeping the ice as part of his celly.
Oh yeah, yeah, looking up, he's halfway already to the crowd.
Head to the semifinals. You play another just a really good Hope team who's kind of been on this run in M3. Have you guys played them in the regular season, or did you only ever meet them in the national tournament?
No, just those two games of the national championship and then that semifinal. We went to the Miami showcase our last year. I think they were supposed to go, and then they backed out because one of the cons of being in Arkansas is like, you know, the big dogs are at North, and it's just so tough to like schedule regular season games. So like, by the time you get to the big games, it's like, maybe you're not as used to the certain competition that you're going to get out of some of those teams. But yeah, it was just those two.
It's funny you bring that up, because you guys are kind of like that lone SEC school that stuck it out in the ACHA when everybody else went over to AAU college hockey. Like, were you taking pride in that? Like, you know, this is SEC hockey and we're bringing this to ACHA M3.
Definitely stuck in our brains, especially with like SEC football being known as like the best and super physical and everything like that. We kind of took like the super physical part to us, especially for regionals my freshman year, and trying to like represent that. It's weird, right? Because when they split off, we had to think about the pros and cons of that. And our closest drive was like 8 hours. That's not something that's in the budget all the time. You know, I still feel like we still have like SEC roots to hockey, like, or to Arkansas hockey, even after. It definitely plays a part because no one wants to come down to Arkansas. I feel like we still play a physical game and brought it to every single team. So I think we take pride in that.
Yeah, I feel like it's cool looking back. Like, you know, they split off and here you guys are like still going to nationals, like the records over the years and you know, finding a way during the pandemic to make it to nationals, and then you make it back at St. Louis. Like, you guys have been on quite a run, and that kind of brings you to the final season here. And I gotta know, like, Willie, like, what did you say to Griff to convince him to do a fifth year? Had his mind already been made up?
It was a full team effort. I think his mind was already made up. If I was on the ice, he was gonna be on the ice. But if you look at our senior class that year, it was me, Michael Ellis, and Kyle Patterson, I believe, were the only three like from that year. And there was like six guys who all fifth year. We had to convince, like, I guess Odie only played 4 years because he took a COVID year, but like we convinced Jake Shearer to come back, Trevor McLean, Cam McAtee, all those guys to come back and go one more time at it. So he knew he wasn't going to play without me. I wasn't going to play without him. So we got the job done. We got the band back together.
I saw a couple notes here, maybe some post-nationals activities. You know, maybe you got a couple more nights in the hotel before you got to catch a flight back. Like, what are some of your, whether it was in St. Louis or Boston, what are some of your favorite memories going out with the boys after the season's over?
St. Louis, best thing, always going to the casino right after. I love gambling. It's super fun for me. So being able to go hang out with the fellows at a table is always just a good time, and you know, drinking a few brews while playing, ease your mind from what happened earlier.
Yeah, for me, like, the Boston trip was so memorable. That was the first nationals we had to fly to, and that was the first nationals like we lost in the round robin. You know, obviously you book your flights, you plan to win it all. Like, we booked it for flying back that Wednesday. Well, we lose Saturday. We have 3 more days in Boston. That 3 day stretch of like the first day, we went up to Maine. My brother was playing the coast at the time, like got to see a game of his. Monday, we went to downtown Boston all day, like went to Southie, went to like the brew house, went to like the Bellingham Tavern, like saw you, Mary, there, like also not celebrating, but like drowning out our sorrows. And like the live band was from Arkansas. So like they let us like play some of the instruments and stuff, which was hilarious. And then we find this like little karaoke bar that we walked to, and like 20 minutes in, our buddy Odie gets kicked out for whatever reason. And then like 10 minutes later, he comes back in. He's like, "Oh, what's up, boys?" We're like, "Hey, like, you should probably get out of here. Like, the bouncer's going to see you. Like, it's not a big place." Like, no, like, the bouncer let me back in. He's like, "Why?" You know, we just got to talking and started talking about my dad. His dad's Lyle Oderline, played in the show and won a cup with Montreal. He's like, "Yeah, he didn't believe me that my dad got in a bunch of hockey fights in the NHL. And so we just watched a montage of my dad getting in hockey fights, and he loved it, and he let me back in." Which, I don't know how that's a criteria to let you back into a bar knowing your dad can beat someone up, but that day was electric. And then the third day, the Senators were in town, so we got to go to a Bruins game. We get back to the hotel, and our teammates are like hanging out with the Hope guys, like having fun with the Hope guys in the hotel lobby. And we're like, "These are the guys who just eliminated us the past few years." We're like, "What's going on here?" Like, feels a little bit weird. But we show up, we get to know them. There were some nice guys, had some fun in the lobby, went to bed at like 3 or 4, shut it down, and then had to be up at 5 for our flight the next day. And that was the funniest part of being in the van. First of all, McAtee comes to the lobby and he just hands the keys to Trev McLean. He's like, "Hey, you're driving. I can't do this." Trev's like half asleep. He's like, "All right, I guess I'm driving an hour to the airport." But we're driving and everyone's like not feeling good. Like, everyone's super tired, sleeping. Windows are down. I get a tap on my back like 30 minutes in. Like, "Hey, like, Willie, put your seat up." And it's Jake Shearer behind me. I'm like, "No, dude, like, figure it out. Like, I'm sick." He's like, "No, like, push your seat up. Like, I'm about to throw up." My head's like in my crotch, so he can stand up from the back seat, throwing up out the window at 5:30 a.m., going 70 miles an hour on the Boston freeway. He was a mess at the airport, which we give him shit for, but not the way we drew it up to end our careers. But that was a very, a fun couple days there.
Willie, you just got like the tour of all the New England pro hockey teams while you were here.
Yeah, I got to see it all. Everything that the beautiful East Coast has to offer.
I was one, you know, we love following guys on from the podcast account, like ACHA guys, and I'm looking at one of your Instagram posts logged in as the Hockey House, and I just like swipe, and it's like, oh, not a big deal. You're just at Brady Tkachuk's wedding. Like, what's the connection there?
I grew up playing with him. He's a good buddy of mine, and my brother grew up playing with Matthew. His dad coached me and my brother, so we've been close since like elementary school, so that connection's still there. And it was so huge because I remember like when Nationals got posted, it was in like when those dates got posted, just on a whim, like, let's just see the NHL schedule. Like, what are the odds the Senators are in town? And they played that Tuesday night. I texted Brady. I was like, hey, if we win the Natty, you're coming out with us. He's like, all right, for sure. And then obviously that didn't happen, but it was still cool to go see him. He was nice enough to stick around and say what's up to a bunch of the fellas after.
Love it. I mean, do you get to, you know, ever skate with him anytime? Like, are you just like rubbing shoulders and you got your like Arkansas shell and he's got his Sens shell? You're like, these are the same thing, right?
I would if that happened, but no, I don't want to compare myself to that caliber of skill. I stay off the ice when he's around.
You're like, you wouldn't last an 8-hour bus ride to Mo State.
Yeah. you wouldn't last at the La Quinta Inn in Huntsville, Alabama.
love it. Willie, I gotta ask too, because I didn't know where we were gonna fit this in, but on the notes here you just said Purdue legacy game. Was that you having a legacy game against Purdue, or is that somebody else?
That's more so Jake Scher, but still our senior group. So we weren't supposed to play Purdue. This was like the last games before Nationals our last year, and it was our last home games ever. So I reached out to Purdue from our team accounts, like, hey, you guys want like a tune-up game? Like, we both, it's like the dog days where you have like no games for a month before Nationals, you know? So like, hey, would you guys want to come down and play a couple times? And they agreed. They were a good team. They were like seventh in the nation. I think we ended up like third or fourth. We beat them pretty good Friday. And then Saturday, like, we just found ourselves like down a goal with 2 minutes left, and like, we're on the bench, like, is this really how we're going to go out? Like, in the 4 years there, we had lost twice at home. And so it's like, this is a big deal. Like, it doesn't matter if we're standing, but like, this sucks if we lose this game. Sure enough, Jake Scher ties it with a couple minutes left. And then with like 30 seconds left, he scores the go-ahead goal. So that was huge. Like, I remember just being on the bench and everyone's just like, God damn it, we're going to lose this last game. And that cemented our home legacy. We like to call it the legacy game.
The announcer didn't have to do this or say this, actually, but we rewatched the clip and everything, and the announcer is just like, oh, the unlikely hero, Jake Scher. Just kind of giving shit for that, because it was just like, oh, dude, Jake, you're unlikely hero, man.
I assume you guys are both playing men's league in St. Louis now?
Back-to-back champs for our men's league team. We got a good run going.
Are there any other like Acha guys that you guys are playing against on other teams here? Or are you guys representing it by yourselves?
I think there's a couple Mo State guys, Maryville guys, even some guys that like played back in the Acha in like late 2010, like, or even 2011, 12, something like that. So it's pretty cool to see.
That's what we love. Always good, like, when you see a guy like in a handshake line, he's got like the Acha decal, or he's got a Nationals decal on the back of his helmet. You know, you can talk shop afterwards.
Sure. Reminisce about the days in the jungle.
There we go. Well, hey, is there anything we missed before we wrap this up? I know we talked about the Jones Center, the people. I mean, they love the specialty jerseys. Did you guys have a favorite specialty jersey? I know you guys, you changed it up a couple times. You had like the black alternates. Was there a go-to jersey for you guys that you like to wear?
My favorite was the breast cancer awareness one. That one hits closer to home with my mom having breast cancer. But luckily, you know, she's a survivor. She actually got to drop the puck at that game, which was special. But yeah, that jersey has a special place in my heart.
Did they at least let you take the draw?
Willie let me take the picture draw and everything like that, so that was cool.
But you started the game too and took the draw?
Yeah, I did.
All right, there we go.
He was joking with me at first. He was like, no, you're not. I'm gonna take it with your mom. And then he was just like, no, I'm just kidding.
That's awesome. Willie, what about you? Was there a go-to jersey for you in your time at Arkansas?
I just love the clean, our white jerseys, home jerseys with the hog. Every one of them was so cool. Like, I feel like I remember like freshman and sophomore year was kind of like, hey, like, why don't we do like jersey promos, like check the puck, this and that. And it was like, oh, like maybe the school won't let us, blah, blah, blah. And then we became like a player board, and like we brought a plan to the school, and they were like, all right, yeah, like you can do this. It sounds like you guys know what you want to do. So we went all out, did as many as we could. We actually had probably had more denied from the school than we actually used. Like, we had a I designed like a football jersey style that immediately got nixed. I knew that wasn't going to happen. We had like Ninja Turtles. We had like a Halloween game, and then they were like, copyright. I don't know. But it was fun. That last couple years, like us seniors being able to get together and like design what we want and just like get out there and wear for all these good causes and look good doing it. So as long as you're wearing the hog, it's fun.
We got to send your residual check over every time we use the photo of you with the C and the Arkansas outline, because that's one of our favorites. I think we owe you a couple checks for that.
I remember opening my phone one time, like last year. It's like, who has the best state outline jersey? And like my phone wasn't loading, and then it loaded and it was me. I was like, oh, cool. This is cool. I was trying to copy my brother, who obviously they do that at ASU, and then our coaches pick up the tab to get those captain's patches. So that was pretty cool. I always appreciate the Hockey House shout outs.
There we go. And this should be a pretty good tire pump too. So we'll get you guys some shout outs on social media this week. But hey, we appreciate you guys jumping on and talking shop for a couple hours. We haven't even reached an hour yet. So Herm, you can cut that part out. But again, thank you guys for coming on. It was great to get a behind the scenes look at Arkansas hockey.
No, I appreciate you having us. It's been fun. Again, we appreciate all the coverage you guys do for the ACHA in general. It's been awesome. You guys, you know, help in general, just getting all the teams with their name on the board and even getting them some extra fans too. So it means a lot that you guys are here for it all.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us. And like Griff said, what you do for club hockey, kind of put it on the map. And we're always happy to relive our glory days anytime you want us to.
We'll kick things off. We'll go right to the hot seat. We'll get it out of the way here. I have one team on my hot seat because I'm going through all these headlines and there's just a recurring theme with this school. And I think it's interesting because I think it's a school that the last couple of years it's come national tournament time where like, is this the year they're going to get over the hump? And then they can never get to the end and a chance to play in the national championship. So I'm throwing the University of Tampa men's hockey teams on the hot seat this week. Because in the last month since we talked, we've had a couple notable moments here. They did, they went viral for the helmet toss. One of the players on Tampa's D2 team got a hat trick. Another player responded by taking off his helmet and, you know, like tossing it onto the ice for the hat trick. Instantly got teed up for a 10-minute misconduct. And that was in a 9-2 win over FAU's D3 team, which, again, I love the creativity with the Selly, but like maybe we don't need to be pulling out that Selly against a D3 team when you're a D2 team. Then we had their D1 team. They scored on a power play goal late in the third period on Friday night to beat Tennessee, I think 4-3. The next day, they're up 5-0 in the second period, and Tennessee storms all the way back to win 6-5 in overtime. Crazy game. Like you think you hear that comeback and you're like, wow, they must have scored late. No, they tied it up with like 5 minutes to go. A wild game down in Tampa. And then kind of the talk of Hockey House Instagram comments today has been the D2 Tampa team defeated Florida Southern 18-3 on Friday night. And then Florida Southern came back and won the next day 3-2 on home ice. We have been studying the art of ACHA AAU burger, right? The biggest blowout of the week. This is a burger that has Steven Glick foaming at the mouth when he sees it on Friday night that Tampa defeated Florida Southern 18-3. And then we always say, like, isn't it so funny in club hockey? Like, you get these blowouts on Friday night, and then sometimes, like, there's a close game on Saturday. None closer than the Moccasins winning 3-2. Just unimaginable. I think the best comment I saw was, like, have we considered that maybe the defenseman had an exam on Friday night? Like, people are coming for answers on this one. I wanted to give stick taps this week to the URI women's team. A couple weekends ago, they did a clean sweep of their NCAA Division III exhibitions. They defeated Nichols College 3-2 on home ice on Saturday, and then they beat Riviere 4-2 on Sunday. So, I mean, stick taps to them, because I think a lot of the times when we talk about NCAA D3 versus ACHA M1, you know, I think maybe we leave out the women in that conversation. But over the years, we've seen, like, URI isn't even a top 10 team in women's ACHA, and they're beating NCAA Division III teams. So I think it's really cool to see. I hope we see more of these exhibitions. I know Liberty has played NCAA Division III teams on the women's side the past couple of years as well. So wanted to make sure they got their stick taps for that good performance there. Herm, I want to dive into the computer rankings, but I don't really know where to start. Anything that stands out to you? Because I think for me, we have the first M1 computer ranking of the year. We know it's going to be chaotic. You go down the list and you're like, all right, number one is Jamestown. They haven't lost. that makes sense. And then you get right to number two and you're like, Calvin at two? And then you're like, well, they must have some good win. And then you're like, wait, their biggest win is against Purdue Northwest, who they also lost to. And then from there, it gets chaotic. Some of the notable ones I had here, Adrian drops down to number 12. They are right behind Drury at 11. Then you have 7 and 8 are Utah and Oklahoma, which is, I mean, they've had great starts to the season, but I think that might be a little too high for them. Other than that, Herm, is there anything that maybe struck a chord with you looking at this? Or are you just like, it's the first day of the computer rankings, I'm not going to lose sleep over it?
We're in a similar spot as last year, where I think Arizona State and Utah were top 10 or like very high top 15 teams, and the WCHL people were freaking out. I think there's so much chaos when the computer rankings come out just because the data set is just not great in the very, very beginning, and it needs some refining in order to make sure that it's properly spitting out the correct rankings. And there's always going to be that movement. There's always going to be that chaos. I think Adrian at 12 is wild. I don't know the last time I've seen them that low.
I kind of had this thought last week, and this is just total speculation, and I might just be talking out of my ass here, but I feel like the reason the WCHL kind of gets ranked so highly each year at the beginning of the computer polls, I think it's because of the lack of interconference play out west. The ESCHL, the ECHA, the NECHL, there's a lot of interconference play versus out there, it's, you know, such a pain in the ass. So I feel like it brings that ranking down because you have teams in, you know, the NECHL and the ECHA that are pulling a lot of weight down for all these East Coast teams. It's just my thoughts there. I mean, obviously everything's going to sort itself out. We learn this every year with the computer rankings. Give it a month or so and everything will be back to normal. But
I think Herm brought up a really good point about like, it's going to look very different when it's time for nationals. I think we should set a reminder for that. We should do a side by side of like the first computer ranking and the 24 teams that go to nationals. M3 rankings also came out, which is always funny because it comes out on a Friday afternoon, right, as these teams are getting ready to play. So Hope lands in the number one spot. They immediately get beat by number 4, Oakland. We got the defending champs, Lawrence Tech at 5, Grand Valley State at 6. Just an all-time weekend of club hockey. And I'm glad we could record an episode this week and get you guys tuned up for it. But other than that, I think this is kind of the goal for the time being. While our lives have definitely gotten busier, the goal will be to put out an episode in December. So when you hear from us next, we'll probably do a first semester recap. I think we'll have some updated bingo boards for you because we did our bingo board draft at the beginning of the year. We'll update those bingo boards, maybe see who's in the lead, if anyone's hit bingo yet. And it'll also be time to do our jersey of the year prep. We love our jersey talk. Before we go, any closing thoughts, guys? I mean, it's been an exciting start to the season. Fitzy, I don't know, is there anything that maybe jumped out on the page to you tonight that you're like, just another weekend in club hockey?
Just found out that I have only struck gold on one of my bingo choices so far. So
I think you got to start influencing teams. You got to send messages. You got to do some stuff behind closed doors to make some things happen.
When we released the bingo boards, UNC Hockey, they reached out. They're like, we're working on getting a dog to drop the puck at a game. I haven't seen it happen yet, but I'm sure the boys are working hard for me. So I need them to do that. And I need them to repeat as Jersey of the Year champs. So we need them to drop one soon.
I mean, they got an outdoor game coming up here. Well, we appreciate all the DMs. You know, there's been some people sending DMs like, hey, you guys coming back anytime soon? And yes, first week of November, we'll be there, we'll be ready to go. Again, not as many episodes coming out these days, but we're gonna make sure the episodes are jam-packed with all the best stuff and looking for some great interviews. I think the Arkansas guys killed it this week, so we'll try to find more of those throwback alumni gem interviews that everybody likes, and we'll go from there. So thank you so much for tuning in once again. We'll be back in December with another great episode for you guys, and as always, tune into the Hockey House Pod social channels at Hockey House Pod on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, wherever you get your social media information. Follow along. But thank you again for tuning in.
See you, boys. Yeah.